Good morning, all. Before I start, what I'd like to do is just dedicate a moment to all of us individually and collectively, offering a prayer for Alan. He had cataract surgery, and each of us, let's just take a moment to offer prayer for his speedy recovery and return to us all. Okay, Mike, when you get home, tell him he has a basket full of prayers coming his way. Our lesson today, and the message I want to try to deliver to you, is a lesson on understanding the verse assures us that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. God has a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. Jeremiah 29 and 11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This verse assures us that God has a purpose and a plan for each and one and every one of us. It gives us confidence in the midst of uncertainty, knowing that our future is in his hands. It affirms that God desires to bless us and bring about our prosperity, not to harm us. When we feel discouraged or unsure of our path, we can find assurance in God's promise to give us hope and direction. This affirmation allows us to trust in his timing, his provision, knowing that he will lead us into a bright and fulfilling future. Let me read from Proverbs 18 and 21. It reads, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Let me repeat that. The tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This verse emphasizes the power of our words to shape our reality. It reminds us that our speech has the potential to either life or destruction, and we're in charge of that. By choosing to speak words of affirmation and encouragement, we can cultivate an environment of possibilities and nourishment for all. Conversely, though, speaking words of negativity and criticism can have a detrimental effects for all involved. This verse urges us to use our words wisely, recognizing their impact on ourselves and those around us. Use our words wisely. I can recall growing up, having an aunt who would all of a sudden just blurt out anything she felt. And I heard my mother ask her, "Why do you do that? You know, you hurt people's feelings." And her reason was, "What comes up comes out." But that was my aunt. But we can't allow ourselves to have that mentality of what comes up comes out. What comes up in your mind comes out of your mouth. It can have a detrimental effect on people. It can harm people. It can hurt people. But conversely, it can build people up. If it's a pure thought, if it's a thought of their welfare, if it's a thought of their well-being, it can build people up. And as Christians, that should be our number one motive for in communications with other people, is to build them up as a reflection of God working in our lives. By speaking words of life, we can experience the fruit of love and build up those in our midst. Speaking the word of life, building up those in our midst, those that are around us, those that are near us. It affirms that God's goodness and faithfulness are not dependent on our circumstances, but are constant sources of joy and strength. And we're in charge of that. We're in charge of whether what we say will build people up or tear people down. As followers of Jesus Christ, it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we're always builders rather than destroyers. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. A word from God that tells us that he's constantly there for us and with us. In moments of fear and discouragement, this verse serves as a powerful affirmation of God's presence and support. It reassures us that we do not need to be afraid because Almighty God is with us. If God is with us, who or what can cause us any fear? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This verse encourages us to approach each day with a mindset of gratitude and joy. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It affirms that every day is a gift from God, and we should celebrate it with gladness, respect, and responsibility. By focusing on the blessings and opportunities of the present moment, we can cultivate a positive outlook on life itself for ourselves and those we come in contact with. And it has a multiplying effect on those that we know, those that we don't even know, because it can get to all others would adopt that philosophy. Even in the face of challenges or hardships, this verse reminds us to find reasons to rejoice. Even in the face of hardship, this particular verse reminds us to find reasons to rejoice, because if we are here, able-bodied as best we can, there is a reason to celebrate and rejoice, because there's an alternative. It reassures us that God's presence, that with God's presence, we will not be easily shaken or overwhelmed by life's challenges. When we face difficulties, we can draw strength, comfort from that type of affirmation and understanding. It reminds us that God is our ever-present help, ready to assist us in times of need, or there for us as a communication partner, just to speak to the Lord continuously. With his support, we can face each new day with confidence and assurance. Philippians 4 and 13 reads, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. When we adopt that attitude and accept it as a mantra for how we want to live our lives, I can do all things through God himself. His strength and help are readily available to us. Knowing that we are upheld by God's righteous right hand can instill confidence and courage in our lives. It affirms that we're not alone in our struggles and that we can rely on God's unfailing love and protection. We are always there, armed. God is with us, then we're always protected. Psalm 46 and 5 reads, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. This verse confirms that God is with us, ensuring our stability and strength. This verse is also a powerful affirmation of God's enabling power in our lives. And the amazing thing is, it is with our permission that God allows us to be a part, that we allow God to be a part of our lives. The verse is a powerful affirmation enabling us to display our power in our relationship with God. It assures us that we're not limited by our own abilities or circumstances, but can accomplish all things through Christ who empowers us. When faced with challenges and doubts, this verse can serve as a reminder of our potential and capability in Christ himself. It affirms that we're not alone in our endeavors. Never think that you are alone. God is an ever-present helper. It's merely an act on our part of acknowledging it. It affirms that we're never alone, as God provides the strength we need to overcome obstacles and achieve our goals. Romans 8:30, 8, and 37 says, no, in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. This verse affirms our victory through Christ's love for us. It reminds us that we're not merely survivors, but conquerors in every situation and circumstance. Knowing that we're more than conquerors can help us to face challenges with confidence and resilience. It affirms that we are empowered by God's love. Let me repeat that. It affirms, or lets us know, or allows us, that we are empowered by God's love, which enables us to overcome obstacles and emerge victorious in every aspect of our lives. Psalm 34 and 5 reads, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This verse affirms the transformation that occurs when we turn our gaze toward God. It assures that those who seek him will radiate with his goodness and his love and will never be overwhelmed by shame or disgrace. When we find ourselves burdened by guilt or a sense of unworthiness, this verse can serve as an affirmation of God's grace and forgiveness. It reminds us that in his presence, shame has no power over us. In God's presence, shame has no power over us. Remember, the only way that anything has power over us is by our consent. Shame has no power over us, and we can shine with the radiance of his love. Let me share this one you've probably heard before. Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. We're not missing anything. We lack nothing, but the Lord is our shepherd. This verse affirms God's role as our provider, our caretaker. It assures us that when we entrust our lives to his guidance, we will lack nothing that is truly essential. This affirmation also can bring comfort in times of need, assuring us that God will take care of our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. It affirms that we can place our trust in him, knowing that he will lead us to abundance and provide for us in every season of life. Let me share Matthew 6:26 with you now. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God is an ever-present helper for us all. This verse affirms our worth and value in the sight of God. It reminds us that if he cares for even the smallest creatures, how much more that he cares for each and every one of us. In moments of doubt or insecurity, this affirmation can bring reassurance and peace. It reminds us that we are precious in God's eyes and that he will provide for our needs. We can rest in the knowledge that our value is not based on our own accomplishments or possessions, but on God's unconditional love for us. Psalms 37 and 4 reads, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse affirms the relationship between our delight in God and the fulfillment of our desires. As I close for now, what I wanted to do was to offer this opportunity for any and everyone to take a moment of silence and think about the words that I've mentioned today. Think about what actually touches you. And then we'll offer a prayer. Thank you all very much for cooperating. Our closing prayer. Precious Lord, we humbly approach your throne of grace and say, Heavenly Father, we love you, admire those things that you've done for us, and Heavenly Father, ask for any time that you can use us. Please, Heavenly Father, call on us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we become a use to you in making the world a better place. That we, Heavenly Father, become tools for you to use. Tools for you, Heavenly Father, to use to make this a better place and make heaven more appealable to people who do not understand. And do not understand your work. Do not understand your love. And help us, Heavenly Father, to be beacons for the world so that they can see what it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's be standing for the invitation. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all the powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.